I got something. A man of God wrote this book, Breaking the Curse of Black America. And there's a lot in it, but I got to read a few things. So just bear with me this morning, because when I begin to read this book, I want you to understand what's happening. And I weep more than ever before because I see the need like I've never seen it before. You understand? I see like I've never seen it before. Listen to these statistics. Listen to these statistics. Crime in prison. An estimated 780,000 gang members were actively involved in gangs in 1998. Of this number, 92% were estimated to be male. 92%. And 8% were estimated to be female. The distribution of gang members by racial / ethnicity and Hispanic Latino was 46%. Blacks, 34%. Caucasians, 12%. And so on and so on and so on. Incarceration. Black men were 28.5% more likely to go to prison in their lifetime than any other ethnic group on the face of this earth. According to the 1991 U.S. Bureau of Justice, black were 12% of the population and committed the following violent crimes: 25% against children, 53% against adults. This river got to flow, y'all. In 2000, black were 7 times more likely than whites to commit homicide. Blacks were 2 times more likely than Hispanics to be in jail, and 5 times more likely than whites. In 1997, blacks comprised 45.8% of all yearly admissions to federal and state prisons. Blacks committed 44% of all rapes, despite being only 13% of the population. Blacks committed 27.2% of all murders of people over 65 in 1992 to 1997 combined. Blacks committed 51.5% of all homicides compared to whites, who was responsible for 46.4% of homicide in 1976 to 2000. From 1993 to 1990, blacks committed over 30% of all workplace violence. Don't this river need to flow? 58% of blacks are convicted of drug possession. From 1980 to 1998, young black males made up about 1% of the U.S. population, but 21% of felons who murdered a police officer. Young white males made up 8% of the population, but accounted for 20% of the murders of law enforcement officers. Young black males murdered police officers at a rate almost 6 times that of young white males. Don't this river need to flow? Black youths across all age groups are more likely to be victims of violent crime than their white counterparts. Black males aged 15 to 19 are murdered at a rate more than 7 times that of white males in the same age group. Don't this river need to flow? Gunfire killed 3,365 children and teens in 1999. More than 38% were black youths. Don't this river need to flow? Homicide is one of the leading causes of death among black males age 15 to 24. Don't this river need to flow? Economic conditions. Poverty among black children is particularly pronounced. 31% of black children lived in poverty in 2000. This percentage is higher than the percentage of white children, 9%, and the percentage of Hispanic children, 28%, living below the poverty level. 84% of black teens and 72% of white teens have received aid for families with dependent children by the time their child reached age 5. An estimated 32.9 million people lived below the poverty level in 2001, including 8.1 million blacks. Don't this river need to flow? Wheresoever this river goes, everything lives. And I want to show you something, that it just don't live spiritually. Because when a spiritual change comes, a social change comes. And when a social change comes, an economical change comes. This river affects every aspect of the life of an individual that will believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ as the scripture had said. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, out of my belly, this river that gives life wherever it goes is about to flow like never before. You see, the church, as it has been, has literally become just a religious organization. Constantly showing up just to have a good time. Constantly showing up just to be able to say, I went to church. You don't go to church. You go to a worship service. You are the church. So we got to learn to stop telling people we're going to. You're not going to church. You are the church. You are going to a worship service, a place to meet, to get instructions, to go back to your community, to your job, to your families, and let this river. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, the river about to flow. It's about to flow. It's about to flow. It's about to flow. I'm moving everything out the way. And Israel, as a result of forsaking the Lord, committing these two sins, the cistern of life, the fountain of living waters, they lost their purpose and destiny as a redeemed people. My question to me and you today, is it worth it? Is going to a party worth your life? Is having sex outside of marriage worth venereal diseases? Is it worth it? My people have committed two sins. They're forsaken. Thank God there's a people. There's a people. There's a people. So let us not fall after the same manner. And we talk about a system, we're talking about an artificial reservoir as an underground tank for storing liquids and especially water. We talk about a fountain, you're talking about the source from which something proceeds or is supplied. A reservoir containing a liquid that can be drawn off as needed. And a reservoir is simply a place where something is kept in store. Isn't it amazing that God has decided to keep in store his spirit in these physical bodies? And we are the reservoir that must give what is needed to this earth. Tell neighbors, I'm about to let it flow. I'm about to let it flow. Turn to John chapter 4. Jesus at the well, the woman of the Samaria talks about now this living waters. Turn to neighbors, say, living waters run deep. John chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Let's start at verse 4. The Bible says, and he must needs go through Samaria. He must need, there was something that God has already predestined for Jesus to accomplish. He must need, there are some things about my life, about your life, that we must need to go and do for God. Hear me today. Project Stars, we must need to have them children in Project Stars. We probably at this point in their lives are the only lifeline that they have. So sometimes I know it's tough. Sometimes I know it's hard. But my God, is it going to be worth it at the end? So Jesus must needs go to Samaria. Then come into the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, set dust on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There coming a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were going away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria to him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And that's the way the church have become. We just don't want to have no dealing with people in poverty. It's too much work. Take too much of my time. You don't know how hard I work. You don't realize how much my family needs me. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that said to thee, give me to drink. Thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee what kind of waters? The woman said to him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. And the well is what? And the well is what? And the well is what? From whence then hast thou this living water? How are you going to get this? This well is too deep. How are you going to bring this about? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him. Beware. 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 John 7 again, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters, and this water should be where? A well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. See, he convinced her. Apparently, she had been coming to Jacob's well for quite a while to get water. Now she gets and understands, hold on, there's some water that I can receive that I ain't got to come in anymore, because he told me I'll never. Are you thirsty today? Are you a little parched today? There's some water that I know that if you partake of today, you'll never. I never thirst again for a bar. Never thirst again for a nightclub. Never thirst again for a drink of wine, that Strawberry Hill, that Boone's Farm. Never again. Never again. Are you with me? To see, he knows how to quench our thirst. So this woman. So Jesus taught us also that this living water is the spiritual life that we need and really are looking for. But to partake of this water, one must be willing to drink. And for those of you that are here today, if you have not drank, I want you to take a drink with me. I want you to take a drink. This is some new wine. This is some wine, I guarantee you, that if you drink with me today, you'll never thirst again. This wine is better than any of the finest wine across this land. But you got to be willing today to drink. Turn to Isaiah 51. We're going to move really quickly. Got a couple more minutes. Isaiah 55. So you got to be willing to drink of it. Jesus said it's waters. It's a living waters. Isaiah 55. Glory to God. Anybody want to drink today? Isaiah 55, look at verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsty, come ye to the waters. And that had no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. So you got to come drink. Turn to them, say, got to come drink. Matthew 5. Look at Matthew 5. So how do you get this water passed? Well, you got to come drink. Matthew 5. Look at verse 6. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be what? They shall be what? So here it is. Those that are spiritually thirsty, come and drink. It's free to all who want to receive it. They shall be filled, a complete satisfaction that only God can give. Do y'all hear that? A complete satisfaction that only God can give. But watch this though. The act of drinking is not a momentary single act, but rather progressive or repeated drinking. Remember the book of Acts chapter 3, Peter and John, a gate called Beautiful, heal a man, Acts 4 to get arrested. Then the Bible said they let him go. They come to their own. They begin to pray and praise God. The Holy Ghost fell and begin to refresh all. A refreshing. So even though you may be filled, there is a time of if you have not been filled, there's a time of. Tell your neighbor, say, come and drink. Come and drink. Come and drink. Come and drink. So here it is now. So it requires regular communion with the source of the living water. Jesus himself, we cannot allow ourselves to become cut off from our source. In John 6:35, the last part of the verse, Jesus said, He that believeth on me shall never thirst again. In John 6:35, he that believeth on me shall never thirst again. So what is the key to the lives of our people? we got to bring the water. And we got to make sure that when we bring the water is not contaminated with unforgiveness. It's going to be hard to minister if you're in unforgiveness. It's going to be hard to minister if you're gossiping. The Bible says in Psalm 107 verse 9, you have to turn there, that God alone satisfies the longing soul. Isaiah 44 verse 3 through 4 talks about the outpouring of God's Spirit. His life upon his people is associated with restoration, blessing, and fruitfulness. The Spirit of God is to be with us, is to be in us. Wherever this river flows, it brings life. Thank God for the ability to be in a beautiful sanctuary, a beautiful edifice. And Brother Dean, you know as well as I know, it can be as beautiful as we want to be. But, and we can come as long as we want to come. But you got a bunch of stale people sitting there watering each other and no life is really flowing. And how many times as the body of Christ we've created a dam between us and the community. Between us and the harvest. Dam of wealth. I got too much going on. I can't lower myself to go and spend time with these snotty-nosed children. Some of them even have an older sister, Vicky. Some of them don't even have a good pair of shoes to wear. But I got a dam right there. Because I don't arrive. I got a nice job. I go to church. Matter of fact, I go to Bethany. I go to Abounding Love Ministries. Oh, won't you come and see how the Lord is moving? Come and see how good God is blessing us. But I heard Jesus say, go to the highways. Go to the byways. Go where they are. Bring the river where they are and compel them to come in. It's time for the river to flow. On the banks of it, there was trees producing every month. Isaiah 64 said that we are trees of righteousness. But in order to continue to produce, we got to stay in the flow of that river. And that river proceeds from the throne of God into this temple and out of this temple, as you so eloquently said through your illustrations, the statue. They put it all together. But one thing was missing. But on that statue, even though the hand was not there, they had to realize we are his hands. Let's not complain about what's going on in our school system. If we ain't going to do anything about it. Let's not complain about what's going on in our communities. We're not going to do a thing about it. I've learned something. And my daughter joked with me about this. But I'm calling anybody that I can when I see cars, and I'm about to step on a few people's toes that ain't running. Most of them ain't got no tires on them. Jacked up in our yards. Because we want to save them for parts. And they sit there for years with the same parts still on it. And I started calling my councilman. Say, at this address, there's two cars been sitting there for 3 years that is a sore to our community. Will you please send somebody to get them? Yeah, Pastor White the one. I mean, tell me, When is enough enough? When are we going to really care for our city? I might be calling tomorrow because I called 2 weeks ago. They didn't come get them. I got to call tomorrow. Yeah, I'm just being real today. And one family, they came, got the cars, and they waited about 3 months later and bought the cars back. Parked them in the same spot. But you know what? They're going to play that game. No problem. I'm calling them again. Come and get them. We're going to see who's going to win. I'm talking about the river. The river makes a difference wherever it goes. It don't buy into what other things are happening. It makes a difference. Yes, you're going to get talked about. You may not be liked for a moment, but there's a protection around you. And God would never leave you without support. So I'm giving you some elementary things to go into your community to start making changes. You see some broke down cars that been there for a long time? Call your council person. Say, look, this is the address. I've been watching this house for the last 3 months. This car been sitting there and been running at all. Please come and get it. Amen. 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 And cut your grass. And matter of fact, you want to be a blessing? If your neighbor ain't cutting their grass, go cut it for them. Miss, I tell you, our neighbor, I would pay people to go cut her grass at one time. Because you weren't cutting her grass? I would pay other people. I said, please go over there and cut that for me. I'll pay you for it. But she keeps it up now. Amen? I'm saying there's a way for this river to flow to be a blessing to others that really won't cost you nothing. And I read those statistics to really show us the impact, because a lot of times we are so far removed, even though we see it on television and we live amongst it, but really we are so far removed from really what's going on. And we're supposed to be involved. Amen? So let the river flow. Out of your belly shall flow rivers. And Brother Dean, that's what God is doing. He's challenging us as a ministry, as his people, to join hand in hand, to take your strength, my strength, the very life that he put inside of us, and take it to the YMCAs. To be willing to go to Sale Park at 6:30 in the morning to pray, to believe God for a community that seemed to be in despair, and disarray, and discouragement. We must be about our Father's business. Hear me today. I know we have to work on our jobs, because the Bible says we don't work, we don't eat. But your job should not be consuming you so much that you can't do something for God. The river has to flow. It's for the healing of the nations. I got a dream. I have a dream. And my dream is like Dr. Martin Luther King's dream. But it's gone beyond even that. I got a dream to see Melrose East change for the glory of God. To see poverty wiped out. To see single parents married. Because I ain't read that statistic. To see them offer welfare with men, and they're taking care of their responsibilities. Is anybody willing to dream with me today? Is anybody willing to put some feet to their dream today? Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, come here with me, Brother Dean. Let this river of God that is in you flow. LSU should never be the same, Sister Crystal, because you are there. Ebony, when you go off, where you go, it should never be the same just because you walked on that campus. Just because of that. You might say, well, I'm just one person. By one man, obedience, many was made righteous. It don't take a whole army. It just take one obedient person. One will put 1,000, the Bible says. Two will put 10,000. It don't take a whole lot. Getting you at 32,000. God cut it down to 300 because he wanted to get the glory. Is anybody willing to stand up for God today? I'm telling you, I hear the Lord saying that there's going to be no crime in our streets because the river is about to flow. I'm telling you, I see our young black men getting off of them corners, pulling their pants up, getting them a decent job and starting some businesses. But how were they here without a preacher? And how can they preach except they've been sent? You and I are the preachers of righteousness. Let the river flow. From those statistics, y'all, our community needs us like never before. And I've learned, God taught me a lesson. It's so simple. I told Minister Adrian, I say, I have all of these gloves, Brother John. I got baseball bats. I got bowls. I got a baseball field now. I don't have to wait till every third Sunday. I can go out there anytime I want. All I got to do is show up, and I guarantee you in less than 30 minutes, I have a full-fledged team for both sides. Because they are waiting for somebody to show up. So you know what I started doing, Brother Kenny? My glove stays in the truck now. My bat's going to stay in the truck now. My ball's going to stay in the truck now. I don't care if I'm in a three-piece suit. I'm going to start stopping at Sale Park and other parts of our community, pull my gloves out, set my bases up. You remember, you build it, they'll come. You ever saw that movie, Fields of Dream? You build it, they'll come. So I made up in my mind, I'm going to start stopping our community. By myself, I got to set my bases up, get my bats out, and get my gloves, and just start throwing the ball up. Just wait until they come. Because I know they're going to come. And then when they come, I got a ball, but I also got a blessing. That's just a tool. God revealed it to me. God said, son, look what it's in your hand. Just go out there, son. Don't wait till third Sunday. Just go out there. It's just that simple, Minister Williams. But because I'm the pastor, I only preach on Sundays and Wednesdays. And whenever I get invited, you know, to somebody's sanctuary, I got other people to do that other part. No, I realize I got to go. I realize, saints, my brothers and my sisters need me. I realize that I'm tired of seeing my young black brothers on drugs, killing up each other. I'm telling you, I don't have time for an eloquent message any longer. I don't have time for 3 points in a perm. I don't have time to try to get the best sermon that I possibly can. The best sermon that I'm about to preach is about to be on the corners of my communities. The best sermon I'm about to preach is about to be in Glory Land and in Gardeer Lane. I'm going to Gardeer Lane. Yes, I'm going to Gardeer Lane. Yes, I got to go, y'all. And y'all, I don't care if you say that we take too long. I don't know how much time you got. I've been sitting back long enough to see my black people in jail, to see my black men in prison. I've been sitting back long enough. So if I don't even have a good message for you, Excuse me. You already full. You already fat. What I need for you to do is what the mission statement says for Abounding Love Ministries, to empty out of yourself before going home to be with your Heavenly Father. That's what Paul did. That's what Jesus did. Paul said, I finished my course. Paul said, I've emptied out of myself. I didn't leave nothing undone what the Father gave me to do. I don't have time. And I love 24 on Monday nights with Jack Bauer. I even know his name. I love it, Brother Kenny, but I can't watch Jack Bauer do what he do on television for the government to catch the terrorists. There's a terrorist in my community that I got to catch. They're setting off bombs, setting off chemical weapons in my community called crack cocaine, called cocaine, and I got to catch them, y'all. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living waters. Living waters run deep. You got to really want this in order to get it. Some of you been ankle deep. The water is rising. Some of you only been knee deep. The water is rising. Some of you only been waist deep. The water is rising. And I want you to be at the place that when it gets to the point where you all can swim in it, that you're ready to swim. Because if you know Pastor White, I've done it in the past, and I'm going to do it in the present or future. I'm about to throw you out there a little further. Y'all hear me? Y'all may say, well, Pastor White, we already busy. I'm about to throw you out there a little further. The way they taught me, that's how I teach you. So are you ready for it? Yeah. Evangelist Willis, next month, one of the places we're going is Skate Galaxy. And for the next 3 months, we're going to Skate Galaxy at least once a month. Nehemiah said, fight for your children. Amen. Fight for your families. Amen. Fight for your wives. And I'm ready to put up my dukes and fight the good fight of faith. But I learned, though, where that river goes, things live. But I got to bring it, y'all. We got to bring it. Now, every head is bowed, every eye closed. Because there may be some people here this morning that don't even understand about this rivers of living waters. Have given themselves to partake of broken cisterns. Cisterns that has no value or no substance to their lives. That only takes. Cisterns that hold no water at all. Everything is leaking out. Your joy is leaking out. Your peace is leaked out. Your strength is leaked out. Isaiah 12:3 talks about that by joy we draw water out of the well.